The Prosperity Podcast, fresh, alternative personal finance talk for independent thinkers who prosper outside of Wall Street.
With me, I've got in person Scott Paul and Austin Emery, and we're going to have a conversation about cryptocurrencies, and we're going straight to the source. As this is a special episode, we just wanted to let you know that the views represented in this interview do not necessarily represent the views of Partners for Prosperity. This is presented for informational purposes only and is not intended to be financial advice. So let's jump into this interview. Scott's been into crypto for several years. You got in early, not at the ground floor, but you got in fairly early.
I got in after Mt. Gox, but before the run-up, so it was a good time.
Yeah, definitely a good time. So if you could, with our audience, help them understand a little bit more about cryptos, why you decided to get into it, and help us understand where you think cryptos are going.
There are a lot of experts talking about cryptos, and I am not one of them. And people that have a lot to say about them, you'll find that they are just making up stuff too. We don't really know what this is at the end of the day, like why the price is moving around, stuff like that. But we do know, kind of what the white papers and what they are foundationally, fundamentally, and what they're trying to accomplish, which is, you know, essentially a decentralized currency. And when that was first explained to me some odd years ago, I was a late night with a close friend of mine in LA where he took a good 4.5 hours to explain to me the very beginning of the guy named Satoshi, who wrote the paper about on Bitcoin, and essentially is the founder who no one knows about or knows who doesn't even know his identity, but holds a lot of these cryptocurrencies. And he told me the whole story of how it works and how the blockchain works and how the computers are mining these things and how you get the coins and how you transfer the coins. And it all sounded pretty, you know, awesome and sophisticated, but also like when I realized that there was an app called Coinbase where I could just download and get it, the coins, much like PayPal. And I didn't have to actually figure out how to put a computer in my basement and hook it all up and put it on a wallet. I didn't know all that stuff was complicated to me. I didn't have time for that. I'm running, you know, full time doing some other stuff. So I learned about Coinbase and I just took a gamble with saying I should have some of my net worth into this cryptocurrency. And that time it was Bitcoin. And then shortly after I did that, this thing called Ethereum popped up in the app. And I'm like, you know what? I've heard some good things about it. These smart contracts, da, 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 da. Let's put some into Ethereum. And I just bought and let it ride. And when Litecoin showed up in the same app. So that's a story of a very unsophisticated way. There's no magic to it. It was the fact that I wanted to diversify. And I've done that in stocks. And I've done that in real estate. And I've done that in all other parts of my life. So that when there was another asset class, these cryptocurrencies, I did the same practice that I did in everything else. The good thing was that the timing was right and that the diversification was wise, having some Ethereum that's, you know, today doing relatively well compared to other currencies. I didn't need to understand everything going on, but as I've been in it, I've learned more and more of what I have, you know, how to secure it, how to actually mine it, what makes them different. Now there's a whole bunch of ICOs and altcoins and stuff. I'm a pretty simple vanilla person. I'm not exploring too much beyond some of the, you know, the things that I understand and have a major appeal to, you know, a global population. And a lot of these, you know, the coins that are there's about 2,300. I can't remember how many there are, but like there's some that just, I'm not going to go play around and try to guess on a penny stock. It's not my game. I'm not trying to time these things. I'm not buying or trading. I'm not trading. I'm holding. I'm buying and holding. Even though everybody tells me every time, sell, 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 sell. That's not my strategy. So
why should normal, everyday people put a little bit of money into cryptos?
That one's for Austin here. I saw Austin every month for about a year and a half. What did I tell you?
In August, probably, of 2015, Scott said, hey, you need to get on this Bitcoin thing. Promise you it's going to be big. And as the price back then was $300-something probably for Bitcoin. I don't even want to think about what it probably was for Ethereum and Litecoin. Cents to the dollar or whatever it was. And And I remember him telling me all about it. And I was just like, you know, at the time, I didn't have as much cash. And I was, you know, but I was still looking a little bit for investments. And I was kind of like, eh, I don't know. It seems kind of sketch. And it's really, you know, very hesitant to do anything. And then 2 years later, all of a sudden, you know, Bitcoin hits 8,000. And Scott here goes out and evangelizes for it and starts handing out some Bitcoin just to try to get other people, you know, because he felt like he had such a good deal with it that he was, luckily for me, willing to, you know, give away a little cash. And I'll let him talk about that a little more, that, you know, just to get people on it. And so now, you know, 2 years later, I hopped on this last fall and just got in and just put a little money in and kind of just to see what would happen. And it became very addicting, because especially I got in a time where there's a lot of high growth. And before I knew it, you know, I was putting in, not a huge amount of my net worth, but certainly enough that I would make sure that, you know, I'm getting some good returns, just because, you know, the more I learn about it, the more I see the possibilities, the more I see where it's come from and where it is now and where, you know, no one really knows, but where people believe it will go. You know, I would call myself a very casual cryptocurrency buyer. And myself too, I'm not a day trader by any means or anything. You know, I'm not watching the charts and selling high, trading, you know, whatever. It's the appeal of it is that, for a lot of people, you know, like me, it's investments. They see how quickly they can make money off of it. And maybe I'm not a orthodox crypto guy where I'm like, you know, doing this because I know this is the future. And in 20 years when Armageddon happens and, you know, we'll all be living post-apocalyptic trading Bitcoin, you know, I don't know that I'm on that train necessarily, but it's certainly, you know, in the several months or a few months I've been on it, I've been invested in it thanks to Scott here, you know, it's definitely treated me pretty well. As far as where it's going, I don't know exactly, but I'm excited to kind of see in the few investments I have made and I've gotten to small coins, you know, what kind of happens.
The last thing would be that why should everyone have, there shouldn't be a soul out there who doesn't have the time to sign up for Coinbase and place the $100 to say they were here. It's, you know, they were here, part of this. They took a vote and said, why not challenge the fiat, you know, the USD? Why not challenge the premise that can be the only coin that we can use and kind of has value? Challenge that by taking a vote and getting yourself $100 of it. And that's the problem. That's what I put out on Facebook. I said, if you're my friend on Facebook and you have not already gotten a Bitcoin, go grab Coinbase and I will put $50 in your account. And most people on Facebook out of my 800 friends did that, actually. And it was more than I expected to give away, but I held to my promise and gave thousands and thousands of dollars away that turned into those people double what they had. And a lot of them put their own money into it. So it created what I wanted to create, which is, you know, just make sure you have some holdings in this movement that is a once in a lifetime movement, you know, that we get to see and watch a digital asset like this grow out of nothing and mined with computers. And no matter how crazy and fake you think it is, you play fantasy football too, you can get into Bitcoin. We do a lot of irrational, stupid things. This is one that actually might be irrational, stupid that could benefit you and your family for another generation. So have a stake in it. Vote with your dollar and do something.
I think that's a great summary. Scott, what is your perspective on risk? And I think this will be our final question. With risk in Bitcoin, do you look at it as that you're trying to get a return on investment, or are you more orthodox, as Austin was saying, that you're in it because this could be the new wave of the future?
This is going to go to philosophy. So I've tried to study Stoicism and how they deal with loss. So I've already, the Stoics of ancient Greece, you know, they would visualize the worst thing happening. Every morning, wake up and try to picture their family dying, whatever it is. I mean, it sounds really morbid, but the result was that they would be super grateful for everything they have as they visualize these things. And so my kind of approach to Bitcoin is, I've already lost it. Meaning I put, let's call it 50K. I put 50K into it. It's already gone. in my mind. So every day I wake up and it's anything is makes me happy. I actually have more angst about selling it and watching it go on to be the future currency than I do of having it go to zero. Meaning, so my decision to hold is that I want to be there and stick through it and be hopefully be rewarded for sticking through it or helping it reinvent the world because I voted with my dollar and didn't sell out. Great if you make some money during it. Most people will if they jump on this transformation of wealth that's happening with the new currency coming about. But I've already lost it, and so because it's already gone in my brain, it doesn't allow me to get to a day like today where it's dipped down a ton. It doesn't ruin my day. I'm going to go on and do life and be fine. And if it goes to zero, I'll be shocked, but I'll be like, guys, wasn't that an amazing 2 years? Like, can you imagine all the technology? Look what we did with computing. Look how fast we made computers that were soul built to just mine this hash rate, these things that they're sitting out there just trying to decipher code. And like, we've progressed so much. And that's really the reason I don't think it's going to go away, because we have progressed so much that I don't think this is just all in, this something's going to come out of all this. And there's going to be real utility that's going to come out of all this hype that's happened. And so like, luckily the financial reward has hyped people to kind of get on board and build a network effect. But after the dust settles, there's going to be real technology that will change the lives of everybody, how we distribute, possibly funds for the third world to keep, cronies and corrupt systems from taking all the dollars that we transfer for, third world countries from first world countries. There's going to be great things happening out of this. I'm excited to see. And, so I just, again, I hold forever because it's a belief system, right? And it's already zero in my mind. So it's kind of a weird way to look at risk. Now, to everyone else who doesn't want to lose money and needs that money to turn into food and everything else, you might want to sell it at the right time. You might want to be in and out of it a few times in your life. You may want to not put too much into it, because I wouldn't suggest anybody put in an amount that they couldn't part with. I would think of it as being zero the second you put it in. So just treat it like you would, treat the money you're putting into Vegas or into a stock market or something else. But yeah, don't forego buying a house because you want to invest in crypto. That might sound like stupid advice 2 years ago, because if you forewent buying a house and invest in crypto, you would have been able to buy 10 of those houses. But it's a fundamental thing still that you don't invest what you don't have. And that's, I don't think that'll ever change no matter how valuable crypto is. So.
Thanks for taking the time with me today, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Prosperity Podcast. To take control of your money and have it work for you, visit us at partnersforprosperity.com. If you liked this episode, make sure you subscribe and leave a review.